You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, it's the storytelling show Snap Judgment. Tonight, a show about keeping secrets called The Weight of the World.
First, the barbershop holds a special place in American memory. The red, white, and blue striped pole outside a shop filled with conversations and the smell of aftershave is something you either have firsthand experience with or you might just know it as that cultural reference.
Despite seeming like a familiar sight to lots of people, barbershops as we know them are on the decline. Between 1992 and 2012, the number of barbershops in the United States fell by about 23%. So what's replacing barbershops and who still goes to the ones that are starting to seem like a thing of the past?
Joining us now is Kristen Barber. She's an assistant professor of sociology at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. Her new book is called Styling Masculinity, Gender, Class, and Inequality in the Men's Grooming Industry. Kristen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the trends, what led you into looking at barbershops, into a window, into our society, and I guess into the society of men in particular?
Yes. Well, I actually, when I began research on, issues of beauty and gender, I was largely interested in women. But so much has been done on women. There's a lot of really important scholarship out there about how women go to beauty shops in order to create community and to, you know, shore up their appearances to sort of attempt to approximate, you know, definitions, ideal definitions of femininity. But there is little research on men and very, very little research on men in barbershops. And so when we're talking about sort of, you know, historical American sex segregated institutions like beauty shops and barbershops, my work was really focused on sort of evening that out.
What was the barbershop like in its golden age? What role did it play in the lives of men?
Yes, well, the barbershop has been, has a long history. There were barbers in ancient Rome who would hang out in squares and wait for men who wanted the stubble shaved off of their chins. But in more recent history, the barbershop has played a really important role in the creation of community for men. These are what sociologists call homosocial spaces or sex segregated spaces. And so they're very interesting sites to study to see what sorts of things men talk about, what sorts of relationships that they create. And the research on barbershops focuses mostly on the black barbershop and the importance that the black barbershop plays in the black community. Specifically, research shows that black barbers will often serve as mentors to younger men, that barbershops are places for the socialization of young men, that men will bring their sons to these places, and this is where young boys learn to become men. These are also places where the barber might give out a loan to people in the community. In black barbershops, they're important places for the discussion of black American politics or racial politics in the United States. And then also more recently, people have started to talk a little bit about the importance of barbershops and the role they play in men's health. In men's salons, which I talk about in my book, both beauticians or hairstylists and barbers talk about being akin to doctors and that they see men every 6 to 8 weeks. And this means that they might notice the changing in shapes of moles or things like this, and they might be able to point out changes in men's health. And so the barbershop has played a really important role in creating community and close, intimate relationships between men in particular.
Are we seeing a decline in, barbershops for men over time?
Yes, we absolutely are. Really interesting, the census tracks the number of barbershops as businesses or enterprises. And since 1992, we have seen a decrease of about 23%, a slight uptick in 2013, and we'll need more numbers to get an idea of what this might mean. My hunch might be that they represent the rise of sort of hipster barbershops that we're seeing popping up in cities.
Talking to Kristen Barber. She's the author of the book Styling Masculinity, Gender, Class, and Inequality in the Men's Grooming Industry. So the old-fashioned barber may be on the decline, hipster barbers too, and you've written that men's salons are becoming the more common option. Is that performing the same social role, though?
It does wasn't. What's really interesting is that barbershops remain a really important place in communities, in Black communities, Latino communities, and even white working class communities. But in well-to-do areas, we're seeing a decline in the barbershop and more men's salons popping up. And these men's salons, I'm not talking about Great Clips and I'm not talking about Sports Clips. I'm talking about more high service or more high-end men's salons that offer men haircuts as well as manicures and pedicures. And there aren't really, barbers working in these places. They're hairstylists. And they're oftentimes women. And so men aren't really congregating in these hair salons and creating community amongst each other, but instead creating one-on-one relationships with their hairstylists.
People talk about the idea of the third space, a space that isn't your home, isn't your workplace, and that third space is declining a lot in the United States. Is the movement away from barbershops, at least for some groups of men, a part of that change in American society?
Absolutely. I absolutely think it is. Yes, there's lots of research on the decline of social ties and the decline of participation in community spaces, which is what barbershops have been. And the hair salon, I think for some men, especially white, well-to-do men, it absolutely represents a shift away from larger communities. But interestingly, men are able to create close relationships with women, which in other spaces might be stigmatizing. So a lot of my research participants, clients, talked about how they weren't necessarily comfortable creating intimate relationships with women that might be conceived as sexual in some way, but that everybody has to get their hair cut. So by going to these men's salons, they're able to create close relationships with women who aren't their wives or aren't their girlfriends, and that they felt that these were meaningful relationships, but not large community relationships like you might get in the barbershop.
And are we seeing more and more men, especially in that white middle class or well-to-do group, having the person they keep going back to again and again? It's kind of alien to me. My hairstylist usually is the place with cuts in the name that I'm driving by when I need a haircut.
Yeah. yes, I mean, the employees of men's hair salons report that the same men come to them about every 6 to 8 weeks. With the Great Recession, they said they saw men come in fewer and fewer times for maybe spacing their haircuts apart. But the men that I spoke with said that they would get their hair cut in a phone booth if they had to, as long as they could continue to get their hair cut by the same stylist.
As you look at other communities outside of the white middle class or well-to-do men, you mentioned that the barbershop still is continuing, maybe not thriving. Is it still playing that role? You mentioned among Black men, yes. How about white working class men? Is that still a community site where you get together, you talk to the barber, you talk to the other guys there?
Yeah, you know, my assumption would be yes, but what is so interesting is that despite how important these sites have been for community, there is really little research done on these spaces. So it's very hard to come across research on the white barbershop. And so that's actually something that needs to be studied. My assumption, though, would be yes, that in working class neighborhoods that you're going to see men congregate in these spaces in groups more than you would in upper class or well-to-do neighborhoods. The more research really needs to be done on that.
So what are we missing if we don't have this kind of space in our life, the third space, whether that's the barber shop or the diner where you just run into people or the bar where, you know, you're not meeting somebody there for a date or a planned outing, but you just show up and there's the people you know, the regulars you hang out with. What do we miss if we don't have that in our culture?
You know, it's so interesting because these are definitely emotional and physical well-being is really affected by our social relationships. And so these are places in which we create meaningful social relationships. But when we're talking about homosocial spaces and the study of masculinity, we have to be careful because these can be very controversial spaces as well. Research on other sorts of, maybe not barbershops, but other places where men congregate, particularly I'm thinking like fraternities. There are also findings that suggest that And these are also spaces in which, maybe sexism or homophobia flourish, and that there's can be a problem when these spaces are not just sex segregated, but segregated by race and by class. So it's sort of a double bind. These can be important community spaces in which well-being is enhanced. They can also be places in which segregation along the lines of race, class, or gender continue to operate.
Now, having done all this research and looked so closely at grooming among men and the social setting in the barbershop, does that make you take a look at your own life, your own community, your own barber or salon yourself, and think a little bit differently about it?
It does. It absolutely does. I kind of bounce around from salon to salon myself, and at times when I go into these spaces, I find myself talking a lot with my hairstylist and sometimes sharing really intimate details of my life. And then sometimes I wonder if I'm putting a burden on my hairstylist, you know, whether or not she really wants to hear this and make me feel better about things that I'm working through in my own life. But also I recognize that part of the reason I invest in my discussions with my hairstylist is partly because I'm not maybe involved in other communities where I might be creating these sorts of social ties.
Kristen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Kristen Barber. She's an assistant professor of sociology at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. She talked to us about changes in barbershop culture and the rise of the men's salon. Her new book is called Styling Masculinity, Gender, Class, and Inequality in the Men's Grooming Industry.
Coming up, the Olympic Games are about athletic ability, but they're also surrounded by controversy. We'll ask whether or not you're tuning into the Olympics and what you do or do not enjoy about them. You can tell us what you think by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.